Can you diagnose an MI if your patient has bundled branch block? The answer to this question in years past used to be no. Now, in 2021, the answers are sometimes you can diagnose acute MI despite bundled branch block, and probably you can do this much more often than most clinicians realize. Now, some of this depends on what else is seen on the ECG. It's important to remember that the ECG shows a net effect of all of the forces that are operative. As a result, when you have competing conditions, it may be harder to see ECG changes of both of the conditions that are competing. For example, ECG manifestations of hyperkalemia include peaking of T waves and QRS widening. So it's easy to imagine how hyperkalemia might hide underlying ECG changes of ischemia or infarction within its widened QRS complexes and peak T waves. LVH with strain may cause ST-T wave changes that look like ischemia, which is why I so often find myself writing LVH and strain and or ischemia as my clinical interpretation. And then when we get to entities like WPW, it becomes virtually impossible to say anything at all about ongoing ischemia or infarction. Bundle branch block may do the same. It's a competing condition that complicates assessment for acute ischemia or infarction. Let's look at the normal sequence of ventricular depolarization. After a normal sinus node-initiated impulse arrives at the AV node, the electrical impulse begins to activate the ventricles by traveling first down the left side of the interventricular septum. As a result, the septum normally depolarizes from left to right. But when there is left bundle branch block, the septum can no longer depolarize from left to right because the left bundle branch passes through the left side of the septum. So the entire sequence of ventricular activation will be changed when there is left bundle branch block. And because the sequence of ventricular depolarization is changed, the sequence of electrical recovery, that is ventricular repolarization, during which time the ST segment and T waves are written, will also be changed. Right bundle branch block also changes the sequence of ventricular depolarization and repolarization, but not in the same way, and not to the same extent as does left bundle branch block. This is because the normal initial left-to-right direction of septal activation is not affected by right bundle branch block. Because the right bundle branch passes down the right, not the left, the right side of the interventricular septum. How do these physiologic changes in the sequence of ventricular activation affect the ECG? To answer this question, think about when it is during the process of ventricular depolarization that Q waves are written. Significant Q waves are a marker of infarction. As implied by the sequence of the three letters, QRS, Q waves in the QRS complex are written during the first part of the depolarization process. But since the presence of left bundle branch block means that there is block down the left side of the septum, and since the left side of the septum is the first part of the ventricles to depolarize, left bundle branch block alters the way in which Q waves are written. You cannot interpret Q waves as we normally interpret Q waves when there is left bundle branch block. As a result, seeing even large QS complexes, that is a QRS complex that is all negative, seeing large QS complexes in anterior leads, sometimes extending as far over as lead V4, is not an indication of anterior infarction if the patient has left bundle branch block. Instead, seeing large QS waves in anterior chest leads is an expected finding when the patient has left bundle branch block. Inferior Q waves are also often not an indicator of infarction when the patient has left bundle branch block. This is different than what occurs with right bundle branch block. With right bundle branch block, the left side of the septum remains intact because the block is on the right side of the septum. As a result, the initial direction of septal activation is not affected when there is right bundle branch block, which means that you often can see infarction Q waves when there is right bundle branch block. Now, we're familiar with the typical triphasic RSR prime configuration in lead V1 when there is a typical right bundle branch block, but if instead of this triphasic RSR prime pattern in lead V1, you see a QR pattern, that is, if in lead V1 you see an initial Q wave, which is then followed by a tall R wave, then this strongly suggests there has been anterior or septal infarction at some point in time. You may see Q waves that indicate infarction in other areas of the heart when there is right bundle branch block, that is, in inferior, lateral, or other anterior leads. Again, right bundle branch block does not prevent you from seeing infarction Q waves because the initial part of ventricular depolarization, during which time Q waves are written, is not affected by right bundle branch block. Note, there is one instance in which the presence of a Q wave with left bundle branch block is significant. Normally, with left bundle branch block, you should see a monophasic, that is all upright, QRS complex in lateral leads, especially in leads 1 and V6. If instead you see a Q wave in one or more of the lateral leads in a patient with left bundle branch block, this is not normal, and it suggests that there probably has been septal infarction at some point in time. But other than this, seeing Q waves in inferior or anterior leads in association with left bundle branch block tells you nothing about whether or not there has been prior infarction. That said, assessment of Q waves is the easy part of assessing the ECG for evidence of infarction when there is right or left bundle branch block. The real challenge is being able to recognize ST-T wave changes that tell you an acute event is ongoing. Much of this assessment is visual. That is, you just have to accustom your eye to recognize these changes that often look different when the QRS complex is widened by a conduction defect, compared to assessment for acute ST-T wave changes when the QRS is narrow. Again, the reason these ST-T wave changes look different is that right and left bundle branch block alter the sequence of both ventricular depolarization and repolarization, which means that these conduction defects change the appearance of both the QRS complex and of the resultant ST segment and T wave. The good news is that these conduction disturbances tend to change the expected appearance of the ST segment and T wave in a predictable way. With left bundle branch block, the QRS is widened. Lateral leads 1, AVL, V6, and sometimes V5 all show an all-upright R wave, which may or may not be notched, and both ST segments and T waves tend to be oppositely directed to this all-upright R wave. So it is expected to see ST depression that looks like strain or ischemia in lateral leads when there is left bundle branch block. In anterior leads, the deep anterior S waves of left bundle branch block, again, are expected to produce what we call normal discordance, that is, oppositely directed or large upright ST segments and T waves in those anterior leads that show deep S waves. Key point. We look for two basic changes in this expected pattern, which are excessive discordance of the ST segment and or T wave with respect to the QRS complex in the lead you are looking at, and or a change in shape of the ST segment and T wave. Both of these changes can be challenging to recognize. The criteria that you'll hear referred to for determining if the amount of opposing or discordant ST segment change is excessive are Scarbosa criteria, which have been modified by Dr. Stephen Smith to account for the fact that rather than looking for a specific number of millimeters of ST elevation or depression, we look for disproportionate changes. If R waves or S waves are increased in size, as they often are in patients with bundle branch block who often have marked LVH, then the amount of ST segment elevation or depression that you need to see before calling this abnormal will also increase. Modified Smith-Scarbosa criteria require the amount of J-point elevation or depression to be at least 25% of the amplitude of the opposing R wave or S wave. For example, 5 millimeters of J-point ST elevation in lead V2 of a patient with left bundle branch block would be excessively discordant, that is abnormal, if the S wave in this lead was only 15 millimeters deep, because the amount of J-point ST elevation, which is 5, is clearly more than 25% of a 15 millimeter S wave. But if this patient had very deep anterior S waves, with, say, an S wave in lead V2 of 30 millimeters, then 5 millimeters of J-point ST elevation would not be excessive and would not suggest an acute cardiac event. A picture is worth a thousand words, and I've left a link in this blog post of a PDF that illustrates some of these concepts, which leads me to the second of the basic changes that I look for. Keep in mind that Scarbosa criteria apply only to left bundle branch block. This second of the changes in ST-T wave appearance is qualitative, and this applies to any conduction defect, including left or right bundle branch block, as well as non-defined conduction defects that we call IVCD, or intraventricular conduction defects. By a qualitative change, I mean that acute coronary occlusion can at times be suspected from the ECG of a patient with a conduction defect if you see ST-T wave changes in shape that just shouldn't be there. Again, a picture tells a thousand words, as I illustrate in my PDF on the subject, but take, for example, a patient with left bundle branch block. If instead of the ST depression that you expect to see in a lateral lead with left bundle branch block, you instead see ST elevation, this shouldn't be there. And in a patient with a history of worrisome new onset chest pain, it suggests acute infarction until you prove otherwise. With right bundle branch block, we expect to see ST depression in anterior leads that naturally opposes the upright RSR prime complex of the right bundle branch block. But if instead of ST depression in lead V1 or V2, we see ST elevation, this shouldn't be there with simple right bundle branch block. So this would suggest that there may be an acute anterior STEMI. As another example, the anterior ST depression that we expect to see with right bundle branch block is usually limited to anterior leads V1, V2, and V3. But if it extends all the way laterally to leads V5 and V6, this no longer is an expected change for right bundle branch block, and it suggests acute ischemia or infarction. In closing, it's impossible to cover all of the subtle ST segment and T-wave abnormalities in an audio pearl without specific ECGs to look at, and each ECG paints a different picture. But hopefully I've conveyed some important concepts that can increase your awareness regarding some of the ways we can recognize infarction in patients who present with bundle branch block.